So I'm wondering if I could explore the sustainability part of it. I'm not a sustainability expert, but I'm having to become a sustainability expert in this project. And so one of the things that I've learned about sustainability is that there are three aspects to it: the economic aspect, the social justice aspect, and the environmental aspect. So if we could look at those three a little bit. On the economic front, you've just told me that it's a private institution. So, how is it financed?
For me, it's one question I like a lot actually, because how it is, we want that this university or the people who created this wanted that this could be for everyone, not just for rich people. And everyone has the chance to come earlier and work. And from the university, there's help to find jobs. So, for example, before I told you, I'm in the third year starting, but I've been here for 2 years and a half because I came in January. And I was working for 7 months before starting so that I could earn the money needed to start the first year.
Okay, and I read something about the pooling of financial resources. So how does that work, that you contribute to a common fund?
No, it's basically every team, like we work in teams, in group of people. Every September, a new team starts. And then that team, imagine, has a common bank account and they accumulate financial resources there through the year. So whenever they work, they collect the money there and they spend their money on their own education. So, in a way, this is what we call economical or financial stability, that you accumulate the money and you spend it on your education. You don't need support from either government or your parents. You are continuously through the program, basically save the money in different occasions. Like you have either a short saving up period where you just work, or when you're in Europe, you do different working work, or when you have your practice in a school, your apprenticeship, you usually get paid for that. So basically, you are sustainable. And I came when I was 18 years old, and I was very proud to be independent from my parents because I didn't need any support. Because I could make it through all the years of education just by being in the program.
So you arrived early and you worked in order to make some money to be able to pay the amount that the college wants from you. And then after that, you keep on working every so often, for example, teaching and for example, other initiatives that you do, and that goes into a common fund. Is that how it works?
I would put it a bit different. I think it's similar to that, but first of all, it's not that we pay a money that the institution wants, because this money that we earn, it goes to our common account. So for example, during the first year, we go to Africa and we have to buy the bus and certain things. So that's the money that we need. So we have to earn that money, but we also are the ones that spend it. We do have to pay some fees for the university in Mozambique and a school fee that it's for things that are happening in the school that need some money, but that's very little amount of money compared to the big amount that we earn, I would say. So basically, we control our money, even if it's to carry on with the program.
Okay, so that's the economic side. And then the second pillar that I talked about was the social justice side, and that's also very strong in the course, isn't it? Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Oh, I think there is so much to this social sustainability. I wonder where can we
It's everything.
start. Yeah, for example, the government of our school, or basically we say that we don't have a hierarchy, traditional hierarchy in a school. Yes, we have a headmaster, we have teachers and students, but the idea is that we all gather in our school. We take the decisions with 100% consensus. So we have weekly meetings where we bring up the important questions for the government of a school. It can be studies, it can be some practical questions about maintenance or about organization in a school. And then teachers and students, they basically discuss on equals, what should be the solution. That's one of the aspects I think of social justice, as you say, in our school.
But I wouldn't say like it's also very strong in our studies or even in our periods, because when we go to Africa, what we go to see, we don't go to the touristic areas and we don't sleep in hotels at all. Like we don't even know what's that. It's we go to meet the people who struggles and to know their struggles and why are they struggling. And next to that, we have like theoretical studies that also where we also learn what is the World Bank and what is the IMF and what are the consequences of the policies that they are putting on people or on countries, and what is the debt in many making in many countries. So it's like we go, we see it, touch it, we live it, but then also we read about it. And that's when we go to Africa. But then when we were in Europe, like now my team, we are studying about the future of Europe and what are the banks doing and what is the relation and what are the productions and what are the possibilities and outsourcing and all kind of complicated things. So it's like we try to tackle it from different angles. Like we try to take action when we go and talk with people, try to spread awareness, bring up this topic, see what we can do. And then there is the theoretical aspects. We try to understand from all the sides, from people, but also like it's more complicated. It's not like just there's poor people and we should do something about it. Also try to understand why is there that there is this poor people and why is there.
Okay, and so can we move on to the third pillar? And this is something where I haven't really heard much about it in relation to DNS, but is there an environmental side?
I would say so.
No, we have definitely a lot of studies and education about it, because it's obvious, I think, for all of our students that if you want to be a teacher, a progressive teacher for the future, because, you know, you don't teach how to say people to live in the now. You teach children who will live in the future and will build the future. So you kind of always need to look forward a bit. And I think climate is like one giant big part of our studies. And we learn about so many aspects of it, both social and economic and, you know, environmental and so on and so forth. But I think in the studies it's more present, and as practically, of course, our campus has this giant beautiful windmill, which was the first in Denmark, which started a global movement of green energies for windmills. And then we always try to promote new ideas, you know, like composting and growing our own vegetables and food, and having chickens and growing our own, you know, eggs, having our own eggs. So many
small. We dumpster dive a lot. I don't know if you're familiarized with the term, but we go to the supermarkets and take the food off the containers so that there is less waste. And we have constantly these discussions, what else can we do? Like there is this one girl in my team that decided to start making her own beauty products because she wants to participate less in this. And we have like, maybe sometimes we could do more because you can always do more, but we have constantly this discussion, like what can we do better? Maybe we should go by bike to the supermarket, or like before buying a plane ticket, we consider like, should we hitchhike instead? Because then we would save. And then you have to consider different things. It's not always perfect, of course, but we try. We have it present, and we also learn about it and try to spread awareness always, like when you talk with people.
So the environmental practice comes out of your studies and out of your concern for social justice, because it's part of social justice then?
I would say so, that it's part of it, that it goes together.
Yeah, as any sustainability, like I think one doesn't go without another. So yeah, what I was saying, that one doesn't really go without an hour. You need to be able to bring a message to the people and, you know, like have a social sustainability in order to do environmental one, and economical one also goes aside of it. So I think we really try to play with all three of them and incorporate them in our studies.
Yeah. And I think also because like usually it's poorer people who get the biggest impact due to climate change, for example.
So it happens very naturally and arises out of this general concern for social justice. Would you say that there is anything in the program or in the way that you approach things that helps you to act more sustainably?
That's an interesting question. Helps us to act more sustainably.
I think the simple fact that there is a constant discussion and that there is people around you who think in a similar way. I mean, many times we don't agree in many things. But I think regarding this, like, maybe we have different approaches, but just to have people around that, instead of saying like you're crazy for believing in climate change, support it, it makes you move in a different direction. Like, it makes you be more active. And when you have this crazy idea of let's try not to use plastic, and people around you say yes, then it gives much more motivation, and you can like actually try to not use plastic or reduce. That if you are alone and people around you look at you like, why are you doing that? You're weird. That, of course, it's much harder to fight. I'm not saying it should be a reason not to do it, but it's just much harder instead to have a supportive environment in that sense. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, part of like when I was telling you before that we had open houses in our European reality when we were creating events, many times were about climate change and environmental issues.
That's very interesting. In a way, it means that I'm talking to the wrong people, because what you're saying is that everybody around you agrees and I'm looking for ideas for trying to convince other people that they should act in a more sustainable way. So in a way, you have it easier.
But I would say that when we arrive, like when there are new DNSers come and not everyone is in the same page. Mm. Like, also because I think there's a lot of people who has no clue, like, what is the impact of what you're doing or whatever. And then when you learn about it and you see the consequences it has, I mean, of course, I don't know if of course, but we all here have, like, this tendency to make we want the world to be a better place for everyone. And then when you learn about the consequences of climate change, of course you want to make a change.
Yeah. I think that's the general pattern, that people come here seeking for change in their lives and in the environment around them. And then they slowly get into this collective mobilized learning style. So people, for example, change their diet from normal diet to vegetarianism. Then they learn more and more and more, and they get challenged to do more about, for example, environmental sustainability. But they don't start on the same level. It always takes effort to learn about it. And that's why we have, like, usually we have teams who just started the program, and teams like Marina's who are already almost at the end of the way. And then we have this exchange of experience and challenge, like, you know, the ones with more experience, we challenge the new ones to have a broader perspective on things. And yeah, I think we do work a lot with teaching people, because it's not only about education within the college, but because we have a lot of practice in teaching people and we go out a lot and give a lot of lessons and workshops, we always think on how to bring this topic to youngsters. We live in a community where we have difficult youngsters, mostly Danish difficult youngsters, for whom climate change is the last issue they care about. Mm. So it's always a challenge for us how to get them involved, how to get them interested in what we do.
That's very interesting, actually, because so what you seem to be saying is that as students in the college, you are very much directing your own education and you're learning a lot through discussion with your course colleagues, but you have this other part of the course as well, where you are trying to interact with other people external to the college who may not be as sympathetic at the beginning to issues of climate change and sustainability.
Exactly. Yeah, I think you put it in a good way, because we always, how to say, finding people who have the same opinion is easy and nice. Mm. Yeah, but it doesn't challenge you as a teacher, and we are a teacher's education. So I think we always try to think, okay, if we go to a school, what kind of mind-opening lesson should we give to them to challenge their reality, to shake them a bit, you know, to open their minds? Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing quite often we come to climate, for example, and environment as one of the main topics.
Yeah, and I would say, like, I would repeat that even if we come from very different backgrounds, different countries, different ideas, and so on. So, for example, I could give example of one of my teammates that she used to go shopping a lot, and she liked to get a lot of new clothes and whatever. And yes, you might know that's not very environmentally friendly.
Mm.
So now, after a lot of discussions, and like not discussions to tell her that's wrong, because we, or yeah, that's against the way I think. I'm more about having discussions and see the points, pros, cons, watch documentaries and whatever. Now she's like, okay, I like to buy clothes. I always buy secondhand clothes, because when I go into H&M, I just see all these kids making clothes and all the shit that there is behind, all the corporation that's behind. So it's also like we learn about it. It's not just, or I used to love meat, but now I try not to eat because I also know that it's one of the biggest polluters.
Mm.
So it's not just that we come and we are already like this and